Okay, good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? Well, it is good to be with each of you this morning. I'm glad to be here. Well, last week, Lee kicked us off with a new series called Living Proof. And in it, he was talking about there is a reality that our lives should be different because of what we believe. Because of what we believe about Jesus Christ, how he came to this world, lived a perfect life, and died on a cross for your sins and for my sins, there should be something different about us that the people around us should notice. We should, in a sense, prove to the world that God is real. We should be living proof to the world that God is real. And kind of our theme verse that we're going to be going through in this series is found in 1 Timothy 4, where it says this: Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And what he's saying is right here where you are, regardless of how old or young you are, there is an example that you can be setting for the world around you. There's an example that we can be setting in the speech and the words that we talk about. There's an example we can be setting in our conduct or the way we live. There's an example we can be setting in love, in our faith, in our purity. And in this series, we're going to be walking through all of those. But we really want to start off, as we're kicking it off, talking about the words that we talked about, the words that we say. And last week, Lee kind of kicked it off talking about really owning our words, you know, that we shouldn't just be flippant with our words. Kind of the illustration you use, when you shoot a gun, you have to own every bullet that comes out of your gun. You can't just kind of say one thing, oh, no, I was kidding. And we couch ourselves in a lot of sarcasm, or we kind of try to hide behind a bunch of sarcasm and behind a bunch of, I was joking and all that sort of stuff. But we cannot be flippant with our anger and our words, especially within our families. And the reality is, as you guys were talking, you know, we're talking and meeting other people and asking yourselves a question. You know, how many of us have really been affected by the words that we've heard? And I think most of you would say, yeah, the words that I hear on a daily basis, they have a powerful effect on my life. And today, though, I want to talk about a little different type of words. And I don't want to talk about the words that other people are saying to us. I want to talk about the words that we are saying to ourselves. Because I think some of the words we're saying to ourselves are just as deadly, if not more deadly, than the words we're hearing from other people. And if I'm going to really be a living proof to the world that God is real, that God has changed my life, I'm going to have to deal with a lot of the words that I'm saying to myself. Now, last week, you took a little survey here, and I want to just kind of tell you some of the results of just a portion of the survey about our words. And this is just some of the lies, some of the things that we commonly say to ourselves. Of people in this room, this is how you responded. 67% of girls and 30% of guys are commonly saying to themselves, "I am ugly." 67% of the girls and 42% of the guys are saying to themselves, "I am stupid." 67% is 2 out of every 3 of you are saying to yourselves on a frequent basis, "You know what? I'm just ugly. You know, I look in this mirror here, and I don't like what I see. And it's not just because I'm bald, okay? But you're telling lies to yourself that I'm ugly, I'm stupid. That's what you see in the mirror. You're telling other lies to yourselves of, "I'm a failure." 64% of girls and 34% of guys. Yeah, a lot of times I'm telling myself the lie that I am a failure. That's over a third of the guys and almost two-thirds of the girls. And then 53 and 30 are saying, "I can't measure up. I don't feel like I'm going to measure up." These are some really weighty statistics, some really hard words that we are saying to ourselves. Going on, I'm worthless. 40% of girls and 47% of girls and 40% of guys. No one loves me. 47% of girls and 24% of guys. I can't go on. I've tried, but I'm just tired. I'm exhausted. This is ridiculous. I can't go on. Almost a third of both the guys and the girls. And the last one here is that God hates me. One out of five are commonly telling themselves the lies that God hates me. God knows how messed up I am. God knows how sinful I am. Look at the circumstances in my life. They are just trash. They're not cool. I don't like what's going on. God must hate me. These are some really powerful things that we're saying. And just like last week, we talked about owning our words. These words we equally need to own. The things that we're saying to ourselves have a powerful impact on our lives, and we really need to be careful about the message that we're saying to ourselves. Last part of the survey, I want to just kind of highlight in terms of the frequency at which we're telling ourselves these things. 26% of girls and 13% of guys said, I'm telling myself this kind of lies on a daily or all the time sort of basis. This is something one out of four of you ladies are saying, yeah, these are the thoughts that are going through my mind on more than a daily basis. A lot of you, it's just, hey, this is just something. When I'm down, yeah, I really struggle. I really struggle with giving myself lies when I'm down. It's just something hard happened, and it kind of spirals out of control. Then about a third of you are like, hey, it's a sometimes thing, maybe like a couple times a month sort of thing. And this last one, I don't know if I believe these guys, but it's interesting. None of the girls in this room said, no, this is something I never struggle with. 14% of the guys said, I never tell myself any lies. I don't know if I would totally agree with that. But the reality is, you and I tell ourselves some really nasty and hurtful things. And the problem is my thoughts affect every area of my life. This is kind of your first blank if you want to take notes. But it says this: the way I think affects the way I live. The way I think affects the way I live. Jesus talks about it's not what goes, it's not just what goes into the body that defiles man. But there's something inside of man, naturally inside of man, that defiles him. There are these internal lies that are preventing me from being living proof to the world. For me personally, I fed myself the lie as I looked in a mirror going into high school. I fed myself the lie so many times that I was a loser and no one cared about me. That was the lie that went over and over and over in my mind. And the reality is that affected the way that I interacted with everyone. I see myself. I know I'm a loser. So I don't want to talk to other people. I just want to hide. And I can't be living proof to a world if I'm just going to hide from the world. And look at the lies. Look at the lies that we just talked through. I know for a lot of you, the lies that are going on are really crushing you. They have you down. They have you discouraged. You look at this mirror. You don't like what you see. You think loser, failure, God doesn't love me, I'm worthless. And yeah, it's not maybe not an all the time sort of thing, but I'm looking at the mirror. I'm telling myself those lies. And it crushes me. It absolutely crushes me. Yeah, some of you in your game earlier, you got some really fun words that you got to be. But a lot of you got some really hard words. And those are some of the same words we're saying to ourselves. And unfortunately, I think a lot of times we believe the lie that our thought life doesn't affect us, okay? So this here, This year represents my life, your life, my life. It's kind of bucket of water represents my life. And we think our thought life is kind of like this rock here, right? You know, I can think about it for a little bit. It's kind of in there. It kind of, you know, doesn't make my water look as good, but it is kind of a shiny rock. But I can think about it for a little bit, and whenever I'm done thinking about it, you know what? I'm going to take it out. No biggie. I can take it out. I can put it in. I can take it out whenever I want. You know what? I can think some really angry thoughts and mad thoughts with this, about the person. I can be all frustrated. I can't believe they did this to them. And, oh, I can't stand my dad. I can't stand my mom. They did this, they did this, they did this, they did this. And, well, I'm done with it. I'm just going to take it out. It's not going to affect me anymore. And I can just kind of put my thoughts in, and I can take them out whenever I want, and it won't affect me. You know, you think of the area of lust. You know what? I can look at some inappropriate pictures of girls online. You know, I can think this thought about the opposite gender. I can do a little bit more, and you know what? Well, I don't know. I'm done. I'm leaving my house now. I'm going to go out in the world. I can just take it out. It's not going to affect me. Not going to affect me. Not going to affect me at all. You know, I was, a couple years ago, a good buddy of mine and I were talking. He's not a Christian. And he was like, "Aaron, what's your big deal with porn? Why do you think pornography should be banned? And, you know, why don't you like pornography? Like, what's the big deal with it?" And I responded to him, like, "Okay, buddy, after you've watched pornography for an hour, how good are you at caring for your wife and loving your wife?" And he's like, "Oh, good point." And the sad thing is, my buddy and his wife are now separated and divorced. See, dwelling on lustful thoughts, thinking about things that are inappropriate, it's not something I just put in and can pull out and it won't affect my life. If I look at this mirror every day and I say, "I am fat, I am ugly, I'm bald, I'm stupid," whatever the lies are, that I say those things are going to define me, those will have a powerful impact on the way, hey, I behave and act towards other people. If I'm believing the lie that God hates me, why on earth would I tell anyone about God's love? It will have a radical impact on my life. See, we think it's kind of like this Diet Coke here, you know, I can put it in and put it out. See, it's nice and contained. It won't open, won't do anything. Reality is far more like an open Coke. You know, and we say, "Look, just a little bit of lust, not too big of a deal." I'm going to need a paper towel, by the way. Little bit of lust, you know, just a little lie that I'm fat, a little lie that I'm ugly, you know, a little lie that God hates me, a little lie that I'm worthless, just a little bit. And I can't separate that. I can't just pull it out and get it clean. It is something that has stained my life. Powerfully stained my life. Thanks. Let me try to not make messes. Powerfully stained my life. And these things, my thoughts, are really preventing me from being God's living proof to the world. I want to talk about what God has to say about that from his word. Before we do that, let me just pray for our time. God in heaven, I know how much in my own life I wrestle with my thoughts. I wrestle with the lies that I believe that are not your words and not your truth. Hey, God, I pray as we look at your word, I pray that you would teach us much through it, Lord. And God, I pray you would begin a process of renewing each of our minds, removing those lies, removing the trash from our lives. God, that we would know your truth in our lives. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you've got a Bible, you can open it to Philippians chapter 4. I know this is a familiar passage from one of Paul's letters to the church at Philippi. And it's a church that he founded. And this is kind of one of his kind of final encouragements to the church at Philippi, okay? And he says this in Philippians 4, starting in verse 8. He says this, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is anything, any excellent, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." As you kind of look through your blanks there, kind of that first one, we're talking about how I should think. First one, what are the characteristics of God-centered thoughts? Well, this verse here describes a lot of the characteristics of God-centered thoughts. It starts off and it says that anything that is good, honorable, lovely, those are the things that we are to think about. Now let's go back to some of the lies that we were talking about. You know what? I'm a failure. I'm never going to amount to anything. God can't use me for anything. How do those things compare to what God says on what we should meditate on? Clearly, those are not things that we are commanded to think about. My lust, my pride, my anger, I'm not really thinking that those things are pure. Instead, I'm supposed to be thinking about things that are true. That are true, that I have been forgiven by God because he came into this world, he lived a perfect life, and he died on a cross for my sins. And anyone who believes in that is called his child. That he valued me so much that he died for me. That is something that is true that I should be thinking about. Things that are honorable. Am I thinking about different ways that I can deceive people or manipulate people, manipulate the situations to get what I want? Or am I thinking about, no, this is the right thing to do. This is what should be done. These are the way people want to be treated and people should be treated. I'm not kind of, you know, going into a sarcastic tone in my own thoughts. But I'm saying this is what's right and this is what's true. And that is what I am meditating on. Things that are pure. Do I really have pure motives in what I'm thinking about doing to that other person? Is it really to encourage, exhort, and help them out? The things that I'm thinking about myself, are they really pure? Is it based on God's pure standard of what beauty is? That he, the God of this universe, said, "I made you fearfully and wonderfully." Am I going based on his standard there, or am I going based on some impure standard that the world is telling me about what beauty is, what's good looking? Lovely. Do I believe the truth that I am fearfully and wonderfully made or skillfully and wonderfully made by the creator of this universe? Of good repute. Am I thinking of what's best for other people? How I can encourage them, what's best for others? Or am I just sitting around thinking, man, that person's a jerk. I can't stand him. They always do that to me. Am I thinking the best of other people? Am I thinking of things that are excellent, that God has a purpose and a plan for my life? And God, what do you want me to do in order to fulfill that purpose and plan? Am I thinking of things that are praiseworthy? God and his character are abundantly praiseworthy. There is plenty of reasons to praise God for who he is. And regardless of what's going on in my life, can I still praise you? And our command, we just see like, oh, I should think of, you know, I should just think one happy thought today. No, our command is that we dwell on those things. The Greek word there that is translated dwell is actually more of a math term. And I know I'm too dorky. But it means to like determine something by a long mathematical process. It means that you're really spending time on it. You're really meditating on it. You're really working through a long math problem and you come to the conclusion. See, it's not just some little block that I can take in and take out whenever I want. It's something that he says, are you really focused on and meditating on? It's not just I say the line, Jesus loves me, all my problems go away. Am I meditating on his truth? And that's the second blank there. What God-centered thinking looks like is meditation. And then when you put these things into practice, as it says, the God of peace will be with you. It's important. We're going to go back and look at this earlier in the passage. But how often the word peace is used in this context. Peace is really the result of God-centered thinking. As we go back earlier in this passage, back to verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. His command is to rejoice. Again, you can't just rejoice with just like one word, rejoice. No, it's a whole process like meditation. I'm thinking about the good things that God has done, not looking in a mirror and saying, I am worthless. I'm really meditating on it, not just some one-liner. And after I rejoice, I'm going to let my gentle spirit be made known to all. Again, I'm being a living proof of God and what he's done in my life. And this is what I want you to see. He says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, when I'm feeding myself all these lies, when I'm looking in the mirror and I'm saying, I'm worthless, I'm ugly, I'm stupid, I won't measure up. When I'm giving myself this whole series of lies, maybe I'm looking at the other person, they're a jerk, they're wrong, they're a fool. When I'm feeding myself and dwelling on these sort of lies, it's just like my anxiety. I'm going to leave this thing after looking in the mirror and telling myself these lies. I'm going to leave and I'm going to be filled with worry. I don't want to see you. I don't want to interact with you because I saw myself in the mirror and I look pretty ugly. I don't want to be around you. And he says, instead of being anxious about what I thought I saw in the mirror, instead, I need to put my request before the Lord and saying, God, you know what? Right now, I am believing a ton of lies. I'm believing a bunch of things that are just not true. And I need, God, I need your help in this very moment. I need your help. I'm going to put my requests before you and say, God, I need you to change. I need you to change what I believe. And instead, God says, he will not make you anxious. He will give you the peace of God, will guard your heart and mind. And this is something, it's not just some easy process that I just, you know, say, Jesus loves me and all is better. But something that I'm praying through, I'm meditating through. And meditating, saying on verses that say, you know what, God, you did have a plan for my life. We were created for good works, which God prepared in advance that we would walk in them. I'm not worthless. You so loved me that you gave your one and only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And now, I don't want you to just go away and think like, okay, Aaron today talked about the power of positive thinking. You know, you can achieve whatever you put your mind to, whatever your mind thinks you can achieve and all that sort of baloney. This is actually the next two blanks, or we must instead really apply truth. And it's got to not just be any truth. It must be God-centered truth. If you got a Bible, you can turn to 2 Corinthians 10. I'll also have it on the screen for you here. 2 Corinthians 10 is going to tell us a little bit more about what this looks like, what it really looks like to apply God-centered truth in our lives. He says this in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. I know this is a little confusing, but what he's saying is we are not battling, fighting as anyone would normally fight or battle, okay? The world is going to say, yeah, just think some happy thoughts, have some, you know, what is it? happy thoughts and sprinkle fairy dust and you can fly. You know, I know that's what the world's saying, but that's not what he's saying. We are not fighting according to the ways of the world. Instead, we have these divine weapons for demolishing fortresses. You see, God's truth about you and about me is more powerful than any lie that I can tell myself. God's truth is way more powerful than my lies. And he says that because of this, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. And he says, we are destroying these speculations. What are speculations? Speculations are the lies that we have put up against God's truth. You know, Eve was tempted with the lie. Did God really say that? Is God really good? And he says, these lies are lofty things raised up against God. See, we think when we look in the mirror here, and we say, I'm terrible, I'm worthless, and all those sorts of things. We think we're being, honestly, sometimes we think we're being really humble, right? I look at myself, I'm terrible, I'm really humble. No, it's not humility. It's actually a form of arrogance. Because I'm going into this mirror here and saying, God, I don't care what you say about me. I know you may have made me and all that sort of business, but I don't care about what you say. I am now God. I am now the one who can say what is good and what is bad. When I go into the mirror and I say that I'm worthless, I'm terrible, I'm whatever, I have now put myself in the place of God and said, yes, I am the one who creates the standard. And my standard is what's right. And I have put a lofty speculation above God. My lies aren't just like some negative thinking, Eeyore-esque sort of things here. They are me saying, I am God, and I tell what's valuable, not God. And that's why it is so powerful that we have to take every thought captive. When we hear those lies, when we look at those mirrors, those are not things that we can dwell on. We can't let them soak in my mind, because you see how polluted and messed up my mind has become. I have to take them captive, which means that came in. No, that's going out. I'm putting a wall around it. I'm putting a wall of God's truth around it. I am saying, God, yes, that lie came in, but I am putting this fortress around it, and I need your truth to replace that junk in my life. And he goes on and talks about, we're ready to punish all disobedience. He's really saying, this is a serious thing that we cannot mess around with. And I'll give you a... Again, I don't think this is something that's just like powerful thinking, think happy thoughts or anything like that. Because honestly, I think what happy thoughts are, it's kind of like this water here, okay? I got my mess, and I'm like, well, I need to clean up my mess, okay? I need to make it look a little prettier here, so let me just say, you know, you're amazing just the way you are. You know, what's another great line? You don't know you're beautiful, and that's what makes you beautiful, okay? You know, but I'm still a little messy. Let me do some other good things, you know? I'm gonna start a charity and raise money for starving people in Africa, you know? I'm doing my good things, but my junk is still there. No matter how many good things I've added to it, my junk is still there. You and I, we don't need to just add some good stuff to it. We need a whole new set of truth. And this truth is one that only comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, and this was our whole theme this past year at summer camp, dealing with my worth. And my worth and your worth is not something that is dependent on me doing something great. It's not dependent on me caring for other people or starting some nonprofit organization. It's not depending on how nice I am. That is not that my worth is not dependent on my physical abilities, my intellectual abilities, or any of those things. It is something that has been given to me by God, by Jesus Christ coming into this world, living a perfect life, and dying for me. I was so valuable to God that he chose to die for me. That's what gives me worth. Not something that I can do. Not some performance that I have. All of the fat, ugly, stupid, worthless, good for nothing lies are met by a God who said, "You matter so much to me that I choose to die for you. And I rose again to give you a new life. That I, my old junk, has been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. But Jesus Christ lives in me, and the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And anyone who believes in what he has done for them will be forgiven, will have a relationship with him, and spend an eternity with God in heaven." And see, that is a powerful truth that I need to meditate on every day. Because see, that truth there, it's not just a truth that dilutes it. I mean, I added some more water. It's not a truth that dilutes it. It is a truth that totally and completely changes it. And I can't remove the lies. I can't remove the lies by just putting it in and putting it out. But there is a truth of the gospel. There is a truth of the gospel that powerfully changes everything. For me, I'm going to give you two just real personal examples from my life, okay? Someone frustrates me. I don't know if anyone ever frustrates you. Maybe you just have perfect friends. They show up late. They say something about me, maybe behind my back. They blow me off, okay? On a weekly basis, there's at least one person I'm frustrated with, I'm annoyed with. And the thoughts can easily come in to say, that person is stupid. That person's annoying. That person's a jerk. I can't stand that person. I can't believe they always do these things to me. But the truth is, the truth behind the situation, have I even considered, you know, maybe when they were supposed to meet me, they were running 5 minutes late because they were on a phone call with their mom and they had to talk with their mom right there or else they would have been grounded, you know? Will I consider any other truth? Do I really think that they were sitting around and saying, you know what, I wonder how I can annoy Aaron today. Let me be late just so I can annoy Aaron today. No. Let me focus on maybe something that is true. And maybe let me focus on the gospel instead. Instead of that thought of, they're a jerk, let me take that thought captive and say, you know what? I was a jerk to God. Even though he has loved me and cared for me so much, I daily choose to do things that are wrong in his sight. I'm a jerk to God. But you know what? God forgave me for all those jerky things that I did. And as the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven me, I can forgive that other person in my life. That's a really simple, practical way of taking that thought captive. Instead of meditating on what a jerk they are, lets me meditate on the truth of the gospel and what God has done for me. Another one that's on a really weekly basis for me is a lot of times I just feel overwhelmed. I'm like, I have this list of things to do, and I can't get it done. And I look in the mirror and I'm like, Aaron, you are just failing today. Where are you failing at today? Here's your laundry list. Failure, 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 failure today. It's a really practical one in my life that I look in the mirror and I say failure. And there's times where I just want to give up. This is ridiculous. I'm never going to succeed. I'm never going to get it right. I just want to give up. But the truth of the gospel says that God will enable me to do everything that he has called me to do. Everything that he wants me to accomplish, he will enable me to do. And maybe I have set some standards that just are ridiculous, but God will enable me to do everything he's called me to do. And the other key truth is of the gospel is I am not judged based on what I have done for God. I am judged based on what Jesus Christ has done for me. And as I meditate on those truths, as I meditate on how good God's character is, it's amazing the way that my thoughts are captivated and my thoughts are destroyed. And that lofty speculation of me saying, God, I'm the one who's going to make this standard, is crushed because I see how powerful God is. I know for my life, in my life when I feel overwhelmed, that's why I love worship music. I love listening to God's truths over and over and over in my brain. See, my thoughts affect my whole life. They're not just simple things that I can take in and out whenever I choose. I can't spend my time dwelling on junk because when those thoughts come in, I need to flee. I need to say, that's a lie, and there is this truth, and that's what I'm standing on. I need to say, God, I need your help. Would you let your peace reign in me? We need to do an exercise real quick, okay? And this is a solo activity. This is not a group activity for just a moment, okay? You know the lie, maybe one, probably one, maybe two, that you face as you look in the mirror, okay? You got a little, at the bottom here, the lie I face most often. That can be, maybe you don't feel comfortable writing it down, you don't have to write it down. But you can just think, what's that lie that you face most often? I'll give you 30 seconds, okay? This is something, you can close your eyes, you can think about it. As you look in the mirror, what is the lie that you face about yourself? Now, with that lie, a real serious challenge. What is God's truth in response to that lie? You and I know it's a lie, but what is God's truth? And maybe you're struggling right now because you're like, I don't know what God's truth is. All I see is failure. And I don't see how God could say anything else. I'd really challenge you, I'm going to take a moment just to pray for us. But I would challenge you, if you have no idea what that answer, God's truth about that lie is, this is a great opportunity to talk to your small group leader, talk to your shepherd group leader. Say, okay, this is the lie I face. What do you think God's truth is? Great opportunity to turn to God's word and say, okay, God, this is the lie I'm facing. What does your word tell me? I'm happy to talk to any of you about that because you cannot let these lies rule your life. And I'm going to pray for us real quick, and then I'm going to just give you another minute. And I would love for you, you each have a note card. I would love for you, if you can think through, this is the truth I need to apply to my life. I would love for you to write that truth on that note card. Maybe it's a verse. Maybe it's just, you know, I am a child of God. Maybe it's a one-liner. I'd love for you to write that on a note card and put it on your mirror this week. Put it on your dashboard or your car. Put it on a place that you are going to see it because we need to be reminded of God's truth. Well, let me pray for us. I'm going to give you a minute by yourself to take care of that. And then I got a couple questions for you. Let me pray. God in heaven, right now, I know every one of us deals with lies in our lives. But God, by your power and by your spirit, I would ask that you would bring to our minds your truth. Because your truth is infinitely more powerful than the speculations and the lies that we believe, God. God, I pray that we would see you in your majesty and in your power and your awesomeness, and we would no longer exalt ourselves to the position of God judging ourselves. But we would let you speak truth into our lives. And I pray for a lot of us right here that I know are like, I hear the lie, but I don't even know what God's truth is. I pray over this next week that you would reveal yourself to them, whether it's through conversations with their leaders, whether it's through your word. God, I pray that you would speak to them in a really clear and powerful way, that they would know that you are not a distant and far off God, but they would know that you are a near God who wants to speak truth in their lives. And I pray that their thoughts and their meditations would be focused on your word and your truth. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, O God, my rock and my redeemer. In your son's name we pray. Amen. I want you to put on some questions in just a minute. Take a minute. Write out, if you do, if you've thought of it, God's truth that you need to put into your life. Okay, I got two questions for you at your table. You guys can go ahead.
Okay, you have about 30 seconds left at your table, and we're going to wrap it up. Okay, let me have your attention just to wrap up real quick. Let me have your attention. Now, I hope today you don't go away with the one deep question. How did Aaron get rid of that Coke? Okay, I hope that isn't the only thing that you take away from that. That's our chemistry major in his finest. But I hope you will go away realizing we have a battle and lose a battle in our head all the time. And that's part of what we're dealing with, okay? So have an awesome day.